everyone. It's time for another KPI Cafe. I'm glad that you are listening in. We're having lots of fun this season, and today's going to be no different. We're going to talk about, you know, if you want to talk to someone who has some really awesome metrics with their BDC, this one's for you. Whether you're a dealer principal who's going to implement a BDC, or you're a BDC leader that's having some struggles, or, you know, whatever it might be, this is going to be some cool stuff that we're going to talk about to try to, you know, guide you towards inspiring a team like this person does. And so we'll sync her in a few minutes, Sarah Force of Suburban Collection. Actually, this interview took place right before the announcement of the potential partnership of Lithia buying Suburban. So we'll see how things will be changing, but you know, I'm sure everything will be just fine for all those fine and great folks that I've met at Suburban Collection. So so today's daily special, it is a spicy Cajun like story with a nice little lemon twist taste at the end that you might not expect. So, you know, as you know, if you've been listening, I've been talking a lot about my wrestling background. So, you know, I've talked about the riot in Martinsville, Ohio. I've talked about issues while in Japan. I talked about Ric Flair. I believe I have. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. But so I used to be in a tag team. So that meant like there were two of us, and, you know, we'd wrestle two other guys who were on a team. And so my tag partner, Marshall Gambino, was known for being a little nutty. So we're doing this match, and, you know, we're kind of upset anyway because we were promised by the promoter of like all these people were going to be there. It was going to be like 1,000 people. We get there, and there's like 20. Then we find out the promoter is like, yeah, well, because of 20 people, I don't have money for you. Well, you know, you don't tell, you know, 15, you know, 200 pound plus people that they drove all this way to you and you don't have any payday. But the show must go on, you know, it's professionals. But of course, before the show went on, we made sure that he promised to go get the cash. And we sent one of our biggest guys to go with him to go get it however he had to. So we're doing this match, and the few fans over there were really into it, but this one fan just kept trying to get involved. Like, you don't step in the wrestling ring when the wrestlers are in there, right? So he kept trying and kept trying, and then finally, you know, he's just standing on his chair probably about, I would say, 15 yards away. And Marshall was tired of this guy and tired of his antics and wanted to scare him. So, you know, during the one match in the evening, there was, you know, like some weapons used, like weapons, like, you know, it's like, you know, cookie trays and stuff like that. So, but there was this one really big, thick, heavy serving platter, round serving platter. Marshall's like, I'm going to scare this guy. I'm going to throw this. So that way it goes whooshes right past his head. So he winds up and he throws it. You'd see it flying like, you know, perfect, like flying saucer. Except it doesn't go past his head. It slams right into his throat and collarbone. And we watch the guy crumple into a mass of human on the floor. And Marshall started to panic a little bit, needless to say. But in the end, the fan, everything was fine. He was fine. No one was hurt. But for a moment, we thought just maybe Marshall had murdered someone. Well, now that you know that the guy's all right, you're not here for the wrestling anecdotes. You're here for the content to learn. And you're here about the BDC. So let's sink in Sarah Force. It's time for another KPI Cafe. I'm excited for this one. We're going to be diving into your BDC. We're going to help your BDC be better. So we're going to really turn into a business development center with some tips and insights from Sarah Force of Suburban Collection, Internet Sales Manager. Sarah, welcome to the KPI Cafe.
Thank you.
So before I really dive into the meat of the content here today, what's your origin story? How did you wind up in automotive retail?
Well, that's a loaded question. I was lucky enough to grow up around it in the sense of my father doing all of the voiceover work for Mel Farr, big iconic name here in the Motor City, from the late 80s into the 90s, pretty much all the way from the late 80s through. So I kind of grew up with it in a sense. But as far as getting into BDC, I actually answered a Craigslist ad and went to work for a small dealership vendor, knowing nothing about BDCs or how internet sales worked at all. I made next to nothing, but I figured this was better than trying to go to college, so I should probably learn as much as I could while I was there, and I did. I learned what a BDC was, how to find people, train people, work the CRM, analyze the data, every little thing. And I loved it. And I knew that if I could just stick this out as long as possible, there was no doubt I could make a career out of it. And so far, that's what I've been doing.
Never look back, huh?
No, I love it.
Great. So at Suburban Collection, so how long have you been with them now?
I started in 2016. Took a brief hiatus for less than a year and came back just in time for the whole world to end last March. So it was a wild ride, but I'm glad I made it home before everything went crazy.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. My fiance and I made the smart choice of moving across state lines during a pandemic from Raleigh, North Carolina to Cleveland, Ohio. So,
good grief.
Yeah, we bought all brand new boxes. She and I literally moved couches, bookcases, everything.
Oh.
We got away with mostly no dents and scratches, a few, but we did pretty well for ourselves.
Good, good. Yeah, that can't be easy.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting because we didn't want anyone to touch our stuff and keep away from everyone. And in fact, the house we bought, we actually when we were looking for houses. This is one that we saw like 8 in one day. And this house that we ended up purchasing had someone with asthma. So they said no more than 2 people, no more than 10 minutes. So it was the house that we had the fewest family members see and was in the shortest amount of time for. And
well, do you love it?
We do love it. It actually worked out really well.
Good.
So I met you, did we decide it was 2 years ago at this point?
It was August of 2019 at the Rockstar Conference.
That's it. Okay. August 2019, met at Rockstar, had some great conversations. We hadn't talked in a while. And then boom, you hit me with some really great statistics here when I reached back out. And so that naturally lent to, I was like, well, shit, let's talk about what you're doing. So it's apparently working. I mean, just great stats from lead to set appointments shown, sold appointments, overall close rates. So to me, that says that you must have a really good team. And if you have a really good team, I want to know where you found those people. So where do you source your BDC talent? Like, I know a lot of people talk now about like reaching out in the hospitality industry. Is there a formula for what you do?
Yes and no. I've been very lucky. I've worked with a lot of people. But as far as my team is concerned, I don't have a lot of turnover. It's been a very sort of complicated situation. But the team that I have now, one of my girls I've had on my team since 2017. The other girl that's on my team, she was there at Fort of Ferndale when I came back in March. She had been there since, I believe, the previous January. So she was still pretty fresh.
Okay.
And then last October, just a couple months ago, we added one more to the team. and she's just been phenomenal. Because we're part of the Suburban Collection, I actually have a recruiter. So when I do have a position available, she handles posting it. She handles all the applicants, you know, all the pre-screenings, all that stuff. So I am very lucky in that regard, but I think I've been extremely lucky with the teams that I've had in the past. This team, it's just a matter of, I think, good chemistry. You know, they knew what they were doing. I came back, I tweaked a couple of things, and all of a sudden it just took off. So, you know, these metrics are, this month was a little bit more difficult. Last month, I think, you know, we did set some records, but we've been setting some kind of record every month since we've been back in business after our brief shutdown in April.
Great. But,
yeah, it's been a wild ride.
It sure has. 2020 was something else. So one team member with on this team since 2017. So it seems like then, like, retention plays a role then in helping onboard and create the success of this team then?
All the stories, they're all interesting stories. Lane, who's been on my team since 2017, she actually started at the dealership as a cashier. And she was only a cashier for a couple of months. I had taken another cashier who decided, this is too much public for me. I don't want to talk to them. I don't like it. So she actually took another position in our office where she didn't have to talk to the public, but it's a very different thing for some people. You know, she was all right answering the phone as a cashier receptionist, but when she actually had to talk to people and not just transfer them to someone else, she really didn't like it. But we still love her. You know, Kristen's still around. She doesn't work at the dealership anymore, but I still see her occasionally. She still leases her vehicles from us. So we still love her. But when Lane joined the team, I was a little bit skeptical, honestly. And we were actually talking about this today. Like, you were just a baby. I think she had just turned 20. And, you know, I was sort of skeptical. And once she got into it, she decided, yeah, I could do this. And she took off too. She was setting appointments like nobody's business.
Great. What part of what do you think helped, was there anything about her personality or answers her questions that helped get over that skepticism? Like, why did you say, you know what, I'm going to give this girl a chance despite my reservations?
She's a sharp cookie. Even for somebody that is younger, she's very smart. She's very quick, quick-witted, you know, and she knows what she's talking about. And even sometimes when she doesn't, she can make it sound like she knows what she's talking about, which is kind of an important thing when it comes to BDC. Even if you're not sure, you got to make it sound like you're sure.
So, you know, I would imagine that with a BDC, you know, it's not a set it and forget it thing. It's, you know, as with everything, it's consumer behaviors and expectations change, and you deal with pandemics and other things happen. I imagine it's an ongoing thing. So how do you set up your training for the BDC? Like, what content do you cover? What's the cadence of it, frequency? Like, what do you do to train your team?
I, once upon a time, created a huge training manual. Lots of screenshots of the CRM, lots of memes, and it was great. Kind of covered everything, including a few word tracks, or what I like to call magic words, because even if you don't say these words in this particular order, as long as you use these magic words, things will usually go your way. And I haven't actually had to use this thing for a really long time. And then when I went back to Fort of Ferndale and I had two new people at the time, I pulled it back up and was going to, you know, okay, guys, here's what I used to train with. And I realized that all of my memes were extremely outdated and I probably should rework this whole thing. And before I realized it, I didn't even need to do that because there were a couple of tweaks, and you know, the other girl, Alexis, who I love dearly, she didn't need any help. She was fine. And somewhat recently we brought on Haley, and come to find out, Haley had actually been trying to get into the dealership for that position for over a year and did so much research about what a BDC was and how everything worked. She, even though she had no retail automotive experience, she was literally plug and play. So I was extremely fortunate, but when it comes to training, it has to be thorough. And I almost feel like you have to cover a lot of what if scenarios with certain people before it happens, which can be difficult.
Okay. Magic words. I like that. I like that you're not making them stick to like something verbatim, because conversations and personalities are going to be different all the time. And I just know that just being a consumer and just someone who talks to people, you know, so I like the idea of magic words. Like, these are the things you need to work in, but you don't have to say it exactly as it's written.
Right. Right.
I like that.
You know, implying ownership, like your new F-150. Magic words, you know, just little things here and there.
Yeah. So, you know, think of like those talk tracks, those magic words. That's a great segue into my next question is, you know, walk me through some talk tracks or examples of getting appointments set, or your approach to reminding customers about appointments, like from initial point of contact to the showroom, like what are you saying, and how are you compelling them to do business with Ford of Ferndale?
All of us have our own quirks, but typically, you know, it's a happy conversation, whether we're getting a hold of somebody, you know, on an outbound call, or if they're calling in, you know, we're always happy. Even if we're having the worst day possible, when you pick up the phone, you smile, even if it's only on the inside. And, you know, you're, hey, I can help you. You know, which vehicle are you looking at? Most of the time, it's without thinking. I think one of the most important things is when you can tell a customer, yeah, that vehicle's available, when did you want to stop by and check it out? Without giving the option to ask questions in between there, like, yeah, it's here, when are you coming in? Most of the time, without a pause, it's going to work in your favor.
Okay. What have you found to be sort of the effective frequency or the right aggressiveness in pursuing someone who, you know, they did the initial call, they showed interest, you're trying to set this appointment. What have you found to be the sweet spot of follow-up and frequency for customers?
Well, it always varies, especially based on lead source, but we are really good at getting a hold of people right off the bat. And I think part of it is luck to a certain extent, but you know, the sweetest spot is picking up the phone and calling as soon as you can once you get that lead. Everybody talks about it. Everybody says how important it is to, you know, catch them while they're still in front of their computer. Most of the time that works. We do receive quite a few manufacturer leads. I know sometimes GM will call them hand raisers. We tend to give them about an hour and then we call.
Okay.
And that, for some reason, I don't know if it's because, okay, the other five dealerships got the lead and called you and you got five phone calls right off the bat. We give you a little bit of time. And all of a sudden, they might answer. And typically, I think if we give those leads a little bit of time, they're more apt to respond favorably to us.
Okay.
We don't at all. But if it's a website lead or like a third party, like Carfax, cars.com kind of thing, you know, the sooner you call, the better. Some of those manufacturer ones, you might want to give it a little bit of time. let the other dealerships call and make a fool of themselves, and then you can kind of pick up the slack after the fact.
Okay, I like, yeah, clean up after the mess is made. So in the same vein, let's say, you know, you have an appointment set. They don't show up. What do you do? Like, what's your strategy?
We go into full-on vendetta mode and show up on their porch. No, not really. I go through every appointment for the previous day, every day. So whether they came in or not, I'm looking for notes from the salesperson, notes from the BDC, you know, show me where they either showed up or didn't. And if we know that this customer didn't show, there will be a phone call, an email, and a text message from the BDC. Potentially also a phone call from the salesperson, depending on how busy they are. But we will go back for at least a solid week and call you, email you every day until you, you know, make sure that, until you answer or until you tell us to F off. But usually when we are approaching these missed appointments, we typically take the stance of like, hey, is everything okay? You know, sometimes we have a legitimate cause for concern. Like, you told us you were on your way and we never saw you. Or did everything work out okay? Like, what happened? And most of the time people are, oh yeah, I got caught up, and you know, they'll reschedule their appointment right then and there. And with an appointment reschedule, I would say we're probably at about a 75 to 80% show just on reschedules.
Okay. Great.
We're going to get them in the door one way or another.
Yeah. Now, going back, I want to kind of back up on something real quick. Sure. The magic word. So from trying to set the appointment to, you know, trying to, if the, you know, they don't show, and trying to get them back, do these magic words change as they go through the funnel? Like, are there specific things you've noticed that you say at different stages of this path to purchase that seem to work best? I know there's gonna be so many variables in the way conversations go, but are there any universal truths of getting people to show?
I truly believe that instead of saying the words test drive, when you ask someone, hey, when do you want to come check out the vehicle? I'm not implying that you can drive it. And it also sounds a little bit more relaxed than, oh, come in for a test drive. No, you come check it out. Do you like it? Do you want to buy it? You know, it's a little bit, we are a much more relaxed type of dealership. It's sort of a non-traditional place to be. Ferndale itself is a very non-traditional place to be. I grew up here. I love it here. And I'm really glad to be working in this community now, because we're all a little weird.
Well, I think everyone everywhere is a little weird somehow.
You'll have to come visit, Dane. It's a pretty awesome place to be.
I would definitely come visit. I want to see every possible place that I potentially can get to. I was actually just in St. George, Utah, Southern Utah, 2 weeks ago to see a dealer partner of ours. And I'll tell you what, until I got there, I never would have probably ever said to anyone, you should take a vacation to Southern Utah. But now that I've been there, you should take a vacation to Southern Utah. It's gorgeous out there. I was just blown away.
I have to do that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, volcanic rock, the mountains, like, it literally, every time you looked out the windows, it looked like you were looking at a mural. Like, it didn't even look real. It was that surreal, just how pristine it was.
That's pretty awesome. I look out our windows and sometimes I see stuff that can't be real, but that's just because we're so close to 8 Mile.
So my last planned question for us today, and this sort of stems from a KPI Cafe I did with Lori Foster, and she was talking about, you know, really turning your BDC into a business development center. Are there things that dealerships are currently not doing that they could be with their BDC? Do you feel like there are limitations and that there are responsibilities that you feel the BDC could master?
I put a lot of faith in my team, and we typically handle a lot more than a usual BDC would. A, because I'm there and I handle way more than I probably should. and I've trained them all to do the same thing. But I, being in and out of dealerships from a vendor capacity, and then from my brief bad decision of leaving my home dealership, it blows my mind how many dealerships don't want their BDCs to handle their phones. And I don't know where this comes from, but if your BDC isn't handling your phones, who is? Because if you're trusting salespeople to accurately portray what's happening on your phones, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Give the BDC the power of the phones and make sure that you're paying attention. Make sure they're trained. Know how many calls are coming in from what sources. I mean, even though it's 2021 and there's email and text messages and all this digital retailing, the phone is still king. That's your instant communication, your instant line of communication. You have to know what's going on with the phones, and you have to have a BDC that's trained to properly handle the phones and the data that comes with it.
That was one of the things that Lori was talking about, was, you know, kind of control of customer information to further mine data for the BDC to pursue, even on the service side. Do you guys handle the service side with the BDC?
We do not. I had kind of half a service BDC for a minute, but our issue is lack of space. In order for us to handle service, I would need at least two more people. I don't have room for anyone else at the moment. And unfortunately, with the building that we're in right now, I mean, unless you want to put some desks on the roof, we don't have any more room. But for a brief period of time, we were actually acting as somewhat of a hybrid BDC. We were short on service advisors. You know, there was a point in time where it was sort of the height of coronavirus and people were dropping like flies. So we were just picking up every loose end we possibly could. And, you know, okay, if you need to schedule service, we can get you over to the service advisors. Otherwise, you know, do you have questions I can answer for you? Because most Ford dealerships do not require an appointment for an oil change. We have Quick Lane. So that knocks like 65% of the questions off right there. Nope, no appointment needed. Come on in. But I know service is a tricky animal. The biggest challenge that we ran into, I was tasked with building a service BDC out of nothing with no budget and no software. And that's how we ended up with our half a service BDC.
Okay. So,
if you want to start a service BDC, make sure that you have a budget and that you've got the appropriate software to track your metrics, productivity, you know, simple appointments shown, yes or no. It's amazing, you know, certain programs that cost a lot of money still won't do what you need them to do.
That's for sure. Well, you know, and I mean, to me, it makes sense to empower your BDC, because there's, I mean, what about the customer that missed their oil change, whether through just not thinking about it? What about they're coming up on needing tires, you know, based on the average miles that somebody drives, and you know when they bought the car, the vehicle from you? Why not give that phone call, that, you know, use that telephone you're talking about and say, hey, Mr. Johnson, I see, you know, you bought your car back in January. You're probably coming up pretty soon on needing new tires. You know, where you sit down with that, and you know, I don't know what the talk track would be, but it seems like there's an opportunity here to really develop business that a lot of dealerships might be missing.
There's a ton of opportunity there, but it's one of those slippery slopes where you have to know what angle you're taking when it comes to service. Even though I do have minimal experience with a service BDC, what minimal experience I have found that, you know, calling with genuine concern beats everything. You know, even if it's just calling like, hey, we haven't seen you around for an oil change, how's everything going? That just takes the cake. You know, if you can show that your dealership truly cares about the customers, that's the one of the best ways to do it. And as long as you're taking the right angle and you don't sound like you're just calling them to say, hey, you okay? You want to buy some stuff? You know, you got to find the right people and, you know, make sure that they can, once again, sound like they're genuinely concerned. Occasionally, unfortunately, we've come across these situations where we are genuinely concerned and it feels like something's very wrong. Most of the time, everything works out just fine. Thank you. Yeah. But, you know, that customer service, that nothing can replace good customer service.
Yeah. I like that genuine concern. And here's a thought. I want to pick your brain on this. So, you know, there's, you want to handle, you know, as many leads as you can, and, but there's this balance of quality versus quantity. When engaging with customers, you know, I know me, like I've dealt with some dealerships where it was like, I could tell the last thing they want to do is humor me on anything. And they just want to get right to the point so they can get me off the phone and get to the next person. What is that balance of engaging consumer with trying to resolve to get to the next? Like, is there a certain amount of time spent on the phone that is where you say, okay, now we're spending too much time on this one? Like, what is there a balance here in terms of quality versus quantity?
That's a very good question. Considering that in the peak time of the year in 2020, I'm pretty sure that for at least 2 months straight, both of my girls were handling well over 500 leads a month, which sounds like a nightmare, but every customer interaction was still productive. You know, quality over quantity. Yes, of course you want the quality over quantity, but quantity doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to make contact with everybody. As far as a sweet spot on the phone, you know, we pride ourselves at making sure that our customers get taken care of, even if it isn't by us. Our salespeople are, most of them are on the same page. They have a great understanding of how a BDC works. We're not just here to line your pockets. We're here to put you in contact with legitimate car buyers that may need a little extra attention. So we've kind of found this really happy medium of, listen, I'm going to take care of your concern, and if it's beyond my control, I'm going to put you in contact with somebody that can help you. So we've kind of mastered the whole shuffling customers off to the floor in the best way possible in order to find that sweet spot between quantity and quality.
Okay.
And somehow we've managed, in the midst of, you know, two BDCs handling over 500 leads a month over last summer, you know, we set appointment records, shown appointment records, and deliveries for the BDC June, July, and August in 2020. So
fantastic.
Clearly found something good in all of that.
Right. So you're doing all this and you're in a limited space, and you know, it sounds like you would love to grow the team. So what does your ideal BDC look like?
My ideal BDC consists of a lot of happy people with a lot of delicious snacks. Truthfully. And we've found kind of most of that in our tiny little corner in that dealership. I truly believe that the BDC I have now is probably my ideal BDC. Nobody ever calls into work like, oh crap, I don't want to come in. I've never in my, almost 5 years of doing this, I think I've maybe had two people call me and go, listen, I'm legitimately sick. I can't come in today. It's maybe happened twice. Everybody that I work with, they all love coming to work. There's always food. You know, there's no reason to be unhappy for the most part. If there is, it's something stupid, let it roll off your back and we move on with our day. But as far as metrics and stuff like that is concerned, my team being advanced, I would say 300 leads a month. which sounds like a lot. But if everybody had like 300 leads a month, they would be happy. I would be happy. And as long as we keep doing what we've been doing, I'm pretty sure everybody at the top would be happy too.
Great. So I keep saying one last question, because I'm really enjoying the conversation. I promise, one last question.
That's all right.
Just based on what you're saying, I mean, you have this great team, sounds like great morale. What do you do to create a great culture with your team within the dealership?
We are the hub of everything in that dealership. We are a safe space for the salespeople if they need a minute to get off the floor. Even if they need to come back there and vent about a ridiculous customer or vent about, you know, maybe a manager that said something that they're not happy with or whatever. We are a safe space. And once again, there's always food. That's an important part. It sounds ridiculous, but, you know, the whole break bread thing, we all eat together for the most part. You know, definitely the BDC and occasionally a salesperson or a sales manager too. Keeping snacks around, keeping everybody happy, making sure that everybody feels comfortable or that they have some place that they can go and just chill out for a minute. It makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference in the morale for your BDC and the morale for the salespeople. It brings a closeness between the two sides that I think we have sort of an unfair advantage of. Most other BDCs don't have that relationship with their sales team. A lot of BDCs aren't even in the same building or the same city with their salespeople, which makes things beyond frustrating. But yeah, we're lucky enough to be right there. If you can have an on-site BDC, I strongly recommend an on-site BDC with snacks and a safe place for everybody to kind of take a minute and breathe.
Great. I love that. I like, you're just naturally, what I've talked about with other people before is breaking down the silos, break down the silos of that dealership. So you just, you have that positivity and you just have that connection with everyone around you. And I agree with you with on-site, you know, like I work remote now since, you know, I've moved. And the one thing that I really miss is that human connection and I feel like there's more of a trust and there's just so many more positive qualities that come out of being able to be an actual physical team.
Yes. Yes. I honestly can, like, I can feel it going to work and I understand the difference. I don't know how many of my coworkers fully understand the whole silo thing, like you mentioned, where, you know, this is used cars, this is new cars, this is service, this is parts, and here's your BDC. We are like free range crazy people over there. You know, I've got guys from the parts department that will come over and just open my office door and yell like, hey, you know, everybody knows each other. We all love each other. It's honestly, I consider myself very lucky and I feel like I work at the world's greatest car dealership.
Fantastic.
Whether that has anything to do with me or not, I don't know. I've heard some things because the months that I was gone were apparently not as good as the ones where I was there. So that was nice to hear. But, you know, I try to harbor a happy work environment and I try to make sure that we celebrate everybody's birthday. That's another important thing to me. I keep a log of everybody's birthday and everybody gets at least one little happy birthday doodad.
Nice.
And the more you say you don't want to celebrate your birthday, the harder we're going to celebrate.
I like that approach. Well, it sounds like the crux of it all is happiness seems to lead to results. So,
yeah. And happiness is different for everybody. So you got to find your own right level of crazy. But, you know, somehow I think we've found at least 95% of it.
Great. Sarah, if there's a someone in the BDC who's struggling and they would like to pick your brain, can they reach out to you? And if so, how can they do that?
Absolutely. If they want to reach out to me, I think you and I are connected on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's probably a pretty decent place. And, you know, if you want to publish my work email, that's fine. You know, sforce@suburbancollection.com, hit me up. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Well, Sarah, I've really enjoyed this talk about the BDC. So thank you so much for carving out some of your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Absolutely. We'll definitely get you back. We'll check in on you and how all your percentages are going on, all your metrics. I know they'll be rocking and rolling. So thank you.
Those metrics every day.
Well, thank you for your time, and everyone, thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next time.